submitted for your consideration. Man has always challenged nature, thinking that they can tame the elements. But what happens when nature changes the rules and fights back? This is the Nature vs. Man 2, for one literary license podcast episode, exploring science fiction and horror, and weighing the outcomes of a dying planet, with your co-hosts, Keith Chalko, John Wilson, Vicky Ray, and Jesse Fultz. Man will forever be changed.
Hello, welcome to Literature License Podcast, and today is our Nature versus Man, and we're discussing Ticks from 1993 and Stung from 2015. And before we get started, let's find out who's with us. First, we have Joe Randazzo. Hello, Joe.
Hello, everyone. How is everyone today?
Debatable.
Doing well.
Debatable. It's hot, and there's no air conditioning in Northern New York.
And we have Vicky Ray with us. Hello, Vicky.
Hi, everybody.
And myself, Keith Chalko. And before we get started, let's find out what we've been up to. We'll start with you, Vicky. What have you been up to since last time we spoke to you?
Not a whole lot. Just traveled up here to the Great White North to see my parents. Just hanging out, doing the Lake Ontario thing, and trying to see some old friends. But other than that, it's been pretty chill. Reading lots. I'm waiting for the rest of Fear Street. I think it starts today.
Yeah, the third finale is tonight.
So. I have to check that out still.
My God, I love it. It's gruesome and it's full of blood cannons and gore. You know, the more blood cannons, the better.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to
checking this out. What about yourself, Joe? What are you up to?
I haven't been doing much in the way of any projects or anything. Waiting to hear back on a couple of things that I've sent out. I know the submissions open up for a film festival I've been waiting for tomorrow. So I'm going to send a couple of projects I've been working on to them and seeing what comes out. Maybe I'll travel a little in the next year.
That would be excellent.
Got these two screenplays that my writing partner and I finished, and if we can get them out and travel with them and meet some people, and after a year cooped up,
oh my God, yeah!
If I could get out to a couple of film festivals and have an excuse to hit a couple of cities, it'd be beautiful. I can't. Hopefully some of those pan out. But otherwise, I haven't really been doing much.
Well, myself, I've been watching a bit of Netflix, watched a fantastic Italian horror that they have on there called A Classic Horror Story, which I quite liked a lot.
I got to watch that.
I started
this week. The finale to Fear Street is tonight, where it gets set place in 1666 during the witch trial.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I can't wait. I can't wait to watch that. I've been like, because I didn't think I was going to like it at first. It's kind of reminiscent of American Horror Story a little bit, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
It's kind of got that 1984 feeling to it. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. Campy, maybe a little bit.
I think they've done a really good job with it, because to be honest, you actually care about the characters, and that's really
hard.
Yeah,
you do.
They've actually spent a lot of time with that, but I think that has a lot to do with R.L. Stine, because it's part of his series, and apparently these do very good. Very well. Netflix is thinking about doing a whole Fear Street series based on each of the books, sort of thing. So it's
excellent. I love it.
And what else have I been watching? Yeah, just bits and bobs and stuff like that. Finished off all my contracts, so they're all sent off. So
yay. Yeah,
wait and see what my agent comes up with me next. See what other
tell her not to cheap out on you.
Well, I mean, some of it's quite good. I mean, what I've, you know, I get things I can say about is Red Dead Redemption 3 is looking, I think it's going to be a good little game, and Grand Theft Auto 6 looks like it's going to be quite
They
fun.
Still have all the little Easter eggs with like the hookers and the cars and all that stuff that I didn't know about when my 10-year-old years ago was playing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess another good thing about it is that there's a lot of nods to films and television in the GTA series and also in the Red Dead Redemption sort of thing. So there's going to be some, there's some Italian horror nods in the new one. So in the Red Dead Redemption. So that was quite fun to look at that and look at, and you know, it's quite funny because when they do give you this, you have to go to the studio and you have to sign an NDA and you get to see like, you get to see like what all the landscapes are going to look like and what all the, each of the characters are going to look like. So it's quite fun. I mean, they should be out in 2025 and 2026. So we got a while.
Oh, damn, man. God, I'll be ready for the home by the time
that's coming. Yeah, precisely. Or be dead and buried by the time some of this stuff comes
out. Dead and buried, I know. It's like no one will even know who we were. Yeah,
I'll just be a footnote on some credits of someone who never reads them at their computer game because they're so long. They're like 10 minutes long worth of credits.
Yeah, that's true.
Buried in there somewhere.
Well, you know, have you ever noticed like with certain movies, you know, everybody gets 50, 100, 250. You know, people like throw money at you to do your movie. They'll donate a little money. Well, like, you know, Vincent's movies, say per se. And you know, you got the litany of people that you got to recognize, just like, where's my name? I know my name's in there somewhere. Where's my name?
It was like that for Never Hike Alone. It's like, oh, there's a Literary Life. There's a Literary License podcast. There it is. buried amongst them. Cast of thousands.
Is he doing another one?
The third one's being made now. So
I can't wait.
That's a good job. I know. I mean, just think about it. Back in the day, like when Cecil B. DeMille was making movies, and you know, now you have to like list everyone, don't you? Could you imagine? You know, you'd still be watching that film, the credits, just by dummy, I mean, like listed the cast of thousands.
Seriously, the Ten Commandments. Can you imagine how many people probably got left out of the credits on that one? And I'd be pissed. Like Gone with the Wind. It's just like all the gaffers. Where's the gappers?
Now they just CGI the crowd scenes in the background now, don't they?
So, yeah, cast of thousands.
When I was living in LA, I had one friend that went into to do some CGI stuff for Man of Steel. They just photographed him and they doubled and tripled him up and put him all over the place in crowd scenes. Less people to pay too.
Precisely, if it pays well.
Yeah, that's wild that they can do it now. I was like, we were watching, me and Asher were watching, was it King Kong versus Godzilla or whatever? And we were just to see, I was so amazed at the special effects. You know, I love the soundtrack. I got to really download that soundtrack because I totally love it, you know?
I got to pick up the Blu-ray to that. I'll send Shanta my digital copy because her little girl, actually, we were hanging out the other day and we went into Target. And Shanta's two-year-old makes a beeline straight for the Godzilla toy and grabs it. And I was like, well, I can't say no to that. So it's a little Godzilla fan already.
Sweet little kid.
She's adorable.
What a cute little kid.
She really is. So
the only bad thing about CGI and not using real people is that we got two film magazines over here called Total Film and the other one's called Empire. And what they used to do is like, you know, like they had like Deep Impact or one of those disaster movies. What they would do is, I mean, you have all these people running from something. So what they would do is they would freeze a frame and then blow it up and see the people's faces and they're like laughing.
I can't remember what movie it was in, but I always laugh because you have the, you know, the Asian people and they're all looking back running and you know, it's like one of those Godzilla things going on. Somebody was making, I can't remember the movie, but I saw that and I couldn't stop laughing. Some people sneak that in to their clips or once in a while, like, ah, there it is again. They recycled that same thing.
Well, they do that a lot.
I mean, that's how Ed Wood made his films, is through stock footage.
Yeah. Oh, stop animation. That's like Basket Case, you know? It's like, how do they do that? I go, I think it's stop animation. Mm-hmm. What a disgusting, lovable movie that was.
Yeah. Oh, all of them are.
I mean, I just hope that stuff for people that are hitting puberty are getting all their ideas from. That's all I got to say.
There was something I was watching the other day that it was obvious stock footage of New York, but the movie was clearly shot in like Toronto.
Right.
No street in New York looks like that.
A bit like Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah.
L.A. Isn't it L.A. or something?
Toronto doubles for New York a lot. I mean, X-Files.
Yeah.
I mean, that Supernatural. I mean, they're all filmed up there.
I think the only one that can get away with recycling, like recycling the car accident or over the flipping car, is Lloyd Kaufman.
Oh yeah, because our movie is cheap is his whole thing.
He recycles that flipping of the car thing all the time. I go, there's the car.
It's actually funny because the Fast and Furious movies, the first few take place entirely in L.A. and I'd never seen them until about a month or so ago.
Really?
My roommate, yeah. So I'm watching the first one and I'm watching this initial heist that's clearly taking place on the New Jersey Turnpike by Elizabeth, New Jersey, because you could see it's obviously Elizabeth, New Jersey.
And then the Garden State Parkway, too.
Yeah, the Garden State Parkway. That might be what it is. Which one goes through Elizabeth? Like, right by Newark Airport.
Garden State Parkway. Well, there's Highway 9, too. It's been a while.
But this was right there, like, between the airport.
That's the term. That's the Garden State Parkway.
And, yeah, and it's funny because it's like, oh, okay. And then they show, like, all these palm trees and everything. I'm like, wait a second. Like, oh, yeah, there was a heist last night on this highway. I'm like, but that highway's in New Jersey. Why are you investigating in L.A.?
Well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, right?
The worst case of that is Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket, because that's all supposed to take place in Vietnam, and it takes place in the Docklands in London. So basically, they had to like plant all these palm trees around, and they're walking around like this park in London.
How funny! I didn't know that.
But the thing is, if you pay close attention when they do pan back or a pan screen back a little bit, you can see some of the London skyline in the background.
Oh, really?
That's great.
Yeah.
I'll have to pay attention next time.
Well, that's because Stanley Kubrick had a thing about leaving England, because he became quite weird. The older he got, the weirder he became, as hard as his little phobia.
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
They're all they all got their little peculiarities, though. All those.
Well, I think the only time he ever traveled was for The Shining. I think everything else is pretty much filmed here, sort of thing.
Yeah, so. I can't think of any film of his that was shot outside of the UK.
Mm-hmm.
I even thought The Shining was. I just assumed it was.
Did they shoot it? Any of it in Colorado?
They filmed it at the Overlook Hotel.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. I was going to say, because that would be hard to make a set of. They had to have done it there. That's almost
I'm surprised they actually filmed at the Overlook, because I'm surprised they didn't do what they did for the Changeling. The Changeling, the outside of the house. Was outside, but the Changeling, the interiors, they built that whole set. They built the whole inside house, and it all connects.
Through. I read where they actually used a house though, too.
They used the house to the outside, but the inside is actually an all soundstage. They rebuilt the whole interior for that.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I was wondering, what the hell was I listening to?
That's another one we're covering soon.
Yeah, we're covering Changeling in season 5.
I can't wait. I love that stuff.
I love that movie. So, yeah, it'll be cool.
I know. I don't know anybody that doesn't.
There's a really good
it.
Blu-ray of the Changeling out now that has a really good documentary about how they built the sets. And
oh, really? I would love to see that.
The Shout Factory release? Or?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I still have my old DVD of it somewhere.
Yeah.
It wasn't
It's got a booklet with it as well. It's got a really good booklet as well.
It wasn't so much the gore or anything, but God, the Changeling was just intense. Intensely scary. And they did such a fantastic job with it. I don't think anybody but George C. Scott would have pulled that one off. He just was so believable.
Yeah, he's a great actor, but then of course he did do a few bumpy roads. Pumpy movies there, like Firestarter, and
yeah. Well, he always had Pat.
But his Exodus 3 is quite decent. So
he's a strong. He's a strong actor. He's still alive, isn't he?
No.
George C. Scott passed away.
Yeah. I don't keep up on these things.
Well, that brings us to Ticks, the 1993 film, which is also known as Infested, is a direct-to-video horror film directed by Tony Randall. Tony Randall also directed Hellbound 2, Hellraiser 2, and Waxwork, and of course, a little film that was...
I love Waxwork.
Children of the Night from 1991. Now he's retired, poor guy. But the film will star Peter Scolari, Seth Green, Rosalind Allen, Emmy Dolenz, which is also Mickey Dolenz's daughter from The Monkees, Alfonso Ribeiro, and Clint Howard. And this actually became quite the family affair film. So what we're going to do is cut to the trailer of Ticks, and we'll be right back.
Come get your bags, guy.
This place looks worse than the projects.
It started out small.
It's got measles bumps.
It's a tick. Vampires of the insect world.
A part of Mother Nature's wonder.
What is so inspiring about bugs and insects and snakes?
But then they grew.
Don't move. There's something on your back.
Get it off now!
And grew.
Just don't touch it if you don't know what it is. Don't touch it. It attacked me.
Unimaginable.
Ticks do not get this big.
Unthinkable. Unbelievable.
There's a huge fire and a whole bunch of those tick things headed this way.
Where civilization ends. The nightmare begins.
Everybody get upstairs!
It's not nice to mess with Mother Nature.
Hello, welcome back to the Literary License Podcast, and we're discussing Ticks from 1993. And Vicky, what are your thoughts of Ticks?
It was disgusting. I loved it. Yes. I don't know. I don't like arachnids of any form, and especially ones that like are bloodsuckers and their head gets stuck in your skin. That's like a double whammy right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got a kick out of the characters because it was really campy, though. Did y'all think it was campy?
Oh, hell yeah. That was the fun of it.
That was the campiest I've seen in a while. I hadn't seen it in a couple years, but I really loved it. I liked the two bad guys there that were growing the... What were they feeding their cannabis? They were giving it steroids.
Steroid fertilizer.
Yeah, steroid fertilizers. Like, what do you expect? You know, if you're going to feed stuff that, you know, you're going to get some of the local wildlife involved, you know. So, but I mean, they had these, they were disgusting. I mean, and they just, their ticks are disgusting anyway. You looked at one under a microscope or a magnifying glass. I didn't even know until a couple of years back they were part of the spider family. And I'm not fond of spiders.
They gave you Lyme disease as well.
That too.
The cause of Lyme disease. And the worst thing about it is once they're in you, you can't pull them out, because if you pull them out, their head lives inside you and it curls itself inside you. So you have to actually take a match or something hot and hit them with it. And that's the only way. That way they pull their head out of your skin and then you can pull them off. And they're just feeding on your blood.
We got some of those nasty little pests in Texas and they're just...
Yeah, the first place I lived in Illinois was by a forest preserve. So yeah, we would get ticks all the time. It was disgusting.
I've never had one on my personal body before, but I've seen people are walking around, they had one on their forehead, didn't know it was there. It's like, oh man, should we tell them? It's like, yeah.
But his body's filling with blood.
Oh, I mean, I've seen poor dogs, like dogs that have been just out in the wild, and I mean, just blood bags hanging off of them. You know, you have to call somebody. I saw these poor babies. Like, God, what a disgusting parasite. I mean, if you want to disgust people, it's one of those things you can do is make a movie about large ticks. You know, I felt sorry for the dog. Why did we have to have a dog kill, though? Why? I'd rather don't kill the dog.
In both movies this week, too.
I know. It's like, quit killing dogs. I could care less about anything else. People can die all they want. Children and dogs are off limits.
I mean, the reason for the dog thing is basically it gave us a reason to give us disposition about what's going on and what ticks do, because that way it got us to the vet, and then the vet was able to explain what ticks do, sort of thing. We got a little bit of Seth Green at the beginning pulling a tick off a regular size tick, and then we got the whole story behind it and how they bury themselves in. And
that scene in the vet's office is great. I love that whole business with the them having to chase it around and it's coming up behind them. It's fantastic. I love that.
And I mean, it was actually, you know, pretty decent, you know, I'm having a blind moment again.
Special effects.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty decent. I mean, it was believable. I mean,
the movie cost $1.5 million. I think the movie cost $1.5 million to make.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
It cost $1 million to make, and it's all done with special effects. You know, way before CGI. $1.5 million
for a direct-to-video movie in 1993.
They had They had a budget of $1 million, and it was running time of 85 minutes. May 25th, 1994.
It wasn't made direct-to-video to begin with. It actually went to the multiplexes as Infested, because the studio executives didn't like the word ticks. So they called it Infested, and of course it sang.
Infested,
and then of course,
yeah,
when it went out to video, then all of a sudden it became a huge success. So, but they did, I mean, they did release it in the States as Infested for about a week.
Oh, it was released as Infested.
Yeah. Well, they used the, and, you know, like the scenes with Clint Howard were actually added in. They weren't actually part of the original script. They had to come back and shoot those. And added him in there.
And he was chewing the scenery, man. That was fun watching him.
What's that?
Watching Clint Howard was just a blast in this movie. He's so over the top.
Infested. Well, I mean, it was kind of family affair. I mean, if you think of that, his father's in the movie as the sheriff.
Rance Howard is, the sheriff.
Yeah, which is the only thing missing with Ronnie. But he was
who ain't doing a movie like this?
Precisely. It's a good thing about Clint. Clint always pop. If Clint's in like a really good movie, his brother's directing it. If he's in a really strange film, it's one that he's picked on his own that some directors picked for him.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the characters are quite strong. I thought they did a great job with the kids. I mean, I know we get the stereotype kids in it, like we normally get in, you know, 1980s, 1990 horror films. But I thought that Seth Green, you always get a great performance out of him anyway.
Yeah. He did a good job. Mm. He had his hands full.
And Alfonso Ribeiro, apparently he did this because he was doing Fresh Prince at the time, and he thought this would stop him from getting typecasted after doing Fresh Prince.
And I couldn't not see Carlton Banks trying to be a badass. That's all I saw when I was watching those scenes.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help that he's called himself Panic.
Yeah.
Panic, yes, Panic.
They call me Panic because I never do.
I never do.
They kind of stereotyped him a little bit, the city kid thing, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, but the thing is, you know what's quite funny about the whole thing is that, you know, first of all, you're taking these city kids, right, and you're taking them to the forest, which is fine, you're taking them to the park, but why would you pick them up in like a really rough part of town underneath an underpass?
That's what I was wondering.
You might as well just pick them up at the local crack house, really. I mean, it's pretty much the same thing.
Because you wanted to give the idea.
I was wondering about that because I was going, why are these kids like?
Well, I mean, look at Seth Green's father. I mean, what I was like, I went off drinking with my friends, left you behind. You got lost in the woods for 5 days, and basically this has caused a trauma to you. So the best way to do this, send you back to the woods. Yay, Father of the Year.
I know, it's just like their kids these parents pretty much just dump their kids, you know. It's like, well, you know, fuck them. You know, I want some time to myself. I mean, I get it, being a parent or a grandparent or whatever. It's like, oh, you know, but send the kids to camp. I don't know. Did you get sent to camp, Keith?
No, I lived on a farm, and that was camp. I grew up on a farm.
And I drove by your house yesterday. I was thinking about you as I drove by your old house on Route 3.
Yeah, good old haunted house that was.
It looks really good. They fixed it up really nice.
Yeah, they did a good job with it, sort of thing.
A haunted mansion.
Yeah, well, 13 people committed suicide in that house over the years. The house was built like in 1802 or something.
Oh, wow.
And then the,
well, there's some oldies in that neighborhood.
And there's a cave underneath the house as well that they put them. That's where the Underground Railroad was. Yep. Where they smuggled them into Canada for freedom. And yeah. I mean, it's an interesting history of the house. The only problem is that the people that committed suicide wrote their names on the wall and the dates. So they're all like in different, like different paint or whatever. Which is kind of weird.
Fun. Good growing time was had by all.
So only you would have
grown up in a suicide house.
Yeah.
Precisely.
And they never thought to cover those up over the years.
It was kind of like, it's kind of weird, but it was, it was really hard to find like research on. I mean, I remember I didn't find all this out until we had to we had this thing in school called local history where you have to like, and part because of the Sackett's Harbor where I grew up, all the houses are old. So basically, it's
very.
Do a history of the house because the War of 1812 took place there, and that's pretty much it. And though it's very beautiful, unlike yogurt, Sackett's Harbor doesn't have a living culture. But so basically, you're just like holding on to like the War of 1812. So basically, you do research on your house, and basically, you do research on your house, and you have to go through all these old papers in the 1800s onwards, and that's when all that piled and what the house is used for, and it's quite interesting. I mean. When I was little, I mean, after reading that, I thought that, you know, the house is haunted. But looking back on it, I think it's just me going through puberty and freaking out about everything. Because I was really into horror films anyway. So I didn't actually see or feel anything. So
yeah, that's why people always wondered what was wrong with people like us. We have nightmares. No, there's something under my bed. Quit watching that shit every Saturday and Friday night.
I think the only horror in my house was actually me. I used to lock my sister in the closet for like hours on end, go downstairs, watch TV with my mom. My mom goes, "Where's your sister?" I don't know. They'd be upstairs in the bedroom closet, knocking on it, crying and screaming to get out. I don't know where they are.
You were a terror.
Precisely. Used to invite my friend Terry Ann over and freak out her sister. And yeah, it was fun time.
Poor Terry Ann.
Not much has changed, but with Ticks, I thought that I also like that Barry Lynch is in this as well. Now Barry Lynch is the brother of Richard Lynch, and Richard Lynch did a lot of those old 80s horror films and stuff like Bad Dreams, and he's always like the really bad guy. So I thought the cast was very very strong in this, and I quite like the story actually.
Yeah, I like the story.
I didn't realize Barry Lynch and Richard Lynch were brothers. I love Richard Lynch.
And I just thought it's like, you know, I know it does play up to some, you know, some stereotyping here and there and sort of thing, but I
actually
didn't say that, you know, for a movie of this age, there's not a lot of cringeworthy things in it as far as like, you know, drag or queer or all the other stuff that we were probably going to be touching on a lot next season. Like these words are popping out.
Oh my god, I know. Oh my god.
Yeah, and women being, you know, sexualized and everything like that. You know, we're going to get a lot of them
abused.
a lot of breasts on show because it was the 80s. But so, but but yeah, I mean, overall, I think. But I like the stop. I thought the stop motion and the special effects in this are very very well done. I mean. Yeah, I think that's probably where the special effects is when you had the fire sequences, or when they're showing the outside sometimes.
I don't know why they weren't more of a hurry to get out of the cabin.
Yeah,
I just don't know why they weren't more of a hurry to get out of the cabin.
Well, I did find a bit of a thing that was kind of odd is that I think this is a blooper, but. Because Seth Green, basically, he's saving, you know, the Hispanic stereotype. And right. Basically, like, he goes out to save them, takes the broom, the tit bursts. The guy jumps down on top of the van, and the van drives away. And then the next thing you got Seth Green driving the van. Is like, how did he get to drive the van so quick?
Didn't he do that sliding thing on a cable or something? Was that think of something different?
I just couldn't understand why Holly just didn't jump in the driver's seat and wait for him to get in. It just makes sense. It's like you're gonna have this.
It would have made too much sense.
Okay, drive you to safety, and we're gonna got Holly in the background. Like,
it would have made too much sense. Too easy.
Well, what about the what about the father? It's like he's there to be looking after the kids and he's too busy wanting to have sex with Holly.
Oh, I know. He doesn't even care if they're in there. Ooh, you know? I mean, they should have been watching the kids and not banging, you know? It's like that's like rule number one when watching kids, especially problem child kids, kids that don't mainstream well into society. And here they are having a jolly old time, totally ignoring what's going on.
I mean, what about Barry Lynch's character? I mean, he's made of steel, that guy. I mean, he's shooting at the van. The van's coming towards him. The van hits him, pulls him through the wall, and he still gets up.
That adrenaline when your life's in danger, man. You just get right up. Broken bones don't matter.
No, that's true, though. They do say adrenaline takes over.
I don't know about getting hit by a van.
I don't know about that either, but it seemed good at the time, right?
What about the mute girl, Kelly? It's like she's mute, and so you're watching it. And then she comes out with her story that basically she's mute because she's been gangbanged. Someone gang raped her. And you're like, this is taking a dark turn. All of a sudden it's like, oh, let's go fishing. Okay.
Well, now that we talked about that, we'll just get on with our lives.
Because the thing is, I've seen this movie quite a few times. I do own this film. I did buy a copy of this film. I do like this film a lot. But, you know, when you're doing it for a podcast, you start watching it things slightly different, as you know, than when you normally watch it. And I was like, just watching, going, I had to like rewind that. I was like, is that her backstory?
Yeah, that's it.
Dark.
Just comes out with it at one point. The other girl goes, I didn't realize you could talk.
Yeah.
That's it.
She ends up being the only one with brains, basically.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what a place to go fishing at. I mean, it's just like, let's go fishing among the reeds. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's like the only thing you're going to be fishing for is mosquitoes.
They didn't think all that through. I guarantee you.
Well, that's £1 million. I mean, it's made for £1 million. So basically they had like a plot of land and let's shoot as much as we can on this plot of land, isn't it? Sort of thing. You know, but
that seems to be the case with both
of them
today. It's that this is what we had, this is where we're shooting.
Yeah, I think so too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You learn a valuable lesson that basically that, you know, if you're gonna steroid your marijuana, that nature, you know, might not be too happy with you and might give you enormous bugs.
I'm still trying to figure out how they put the steroids in their plants. Asking for a friend.
Well, what you would do basically is you mix it with the fertilizer and put in the fertilizer, and then the stimulant would make your more hearty. It would make it more hearty, and then hopefully some of the chemical compounds within it would mix within the roots and hopefully give you a stronger stash.
You got to wonder, though, how that affects the wildlife, though, you know, the bugs and things like that. I mean,
well, you're kind of wondering what it's doing to your
I don't think system after
smoking
it
as well. I mean, it can't be very good for your smoking
system, doing that
to the wildlife, you know.
Yeah, true.
It's probably good for making, like, you know, clothes or paper, but I'm not sure how good it's going to be for smoking and making it that strong.
Yeah, it's sort of like this stuff.
Like some kind of fiberglass marijuana. Hard to burn. I think overall, I love Tony Randall's work anyway. I think every time you see his name on something, you know you're going to get something interesting.
It's going to be pretty interesting. It's going to be, I mean, there's a little comedy involved too. I mean, everybody knows that if you watch a movie like this, you know it's not supposed to be serious. You know, so don't, you know, just don't shoot it down completely because it's a lot of fun to watch. I really don't have anything bad to say about it.
Oh, no, I don't either. I think it's a very enjoyable film. I like the film a lot.
I think
if it had like a lesser director, I think it'd be a totally different film. And I think it's a great film because of the director.
Yeah.
Because he always gives things an interesting look. I mean, if you look at Waxwork. Or if you look at Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, I mean, they're very interesting films to watch. And they always.
Yeah, they're kind of, those two are kind of thought provoking a little bit more.
And even Children of the Night from 1991 is a very low budget, but God, it's a very interesting film to watch. Is interestingly, he knows how to interestingly shoot things for something that's quite low budget. He really knows how to take that budget and make it go as far as it needs to go.
And he has a repulsive kind of pest too, you know, and you enlarge that, you know, sort of like the shrews. What's that movie called with the giant shrews?
I think it is called Shrews.
Is it Shrew? Is it the giant shrews?
Something shrews, something, an old black and white film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all black and white.
I think I'd rather be able to see a tick coming a mile away, though. It's when they're tiny.
Yeah, true. But when they
catch you don't
up,
notice.
But those little, did you see how fast they were skittering, though? Yeah. They were like boogieing. So, I mean, you'd have to go fast. Did you see them? They're all, you know, making that clicking noise and stuff.
Yeah, drop like a bucket on them and like try to burn them under the bucket or something.
I mean, another thing about ticks, which this movie didn't show, is that they actually jump quite high as well.
Yeah.
Because if they're like on you, and once they, you know, if they're on you and they, once they feed on you, they'll jump onto the next person.
I thought they latched onto you just till they blow up.
Yeah.
I mean, do they really think, I'm going to have to look this up. I should have, if I wouldn't see. Ticks, I mean, they will literally balloon to extensive sizes. You know, I mean, why? You know?
I'm quite sure. I mean the thing is about the head burrowing to you. I mean, at some point, the head's going to have to come out of your skin, because once they go off you, they must take their head with them, because the head doesn't stay in you. It's only when you pull them off that the head lives on.
Yeah, that's weird. I hate bugs, man. I just hate them.
But we picked the right double feature to give you the fucking creeps today.
I know. I mean, I fucking hate bugs. I mean, I live in Texas, and I mean, everything is the size of a sanitation truck there. You know, they're just huge. Everything is big with legs. I mean,
well, that's the reason why I don't eat pecan pie, because when I was in Texas, when I was in Oklahoma, went down to Texas, and I saw the cockroaches, and they look like the giant pecans that you put on pecan pie. And after that,
they do. Oh, yeah. Man, I never put that together. Don't ruin me anymore, Keith. Don't just stop speaking.
That's the reason why I can't
probably
eat pecan
pie
now.
Pecan pie. Cockroaches. Yeah, they do kind of. It does kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, they're giant, and they fly.
They're giant down there.
They fly.
They call them water bugs
in Texas.
I know. They call them water bugs. I go, I don't give a shit what you say. They're fucking cockroaches. It's not a water bug. It's a cockroach. It's a big one. They're huge.
I don't care what cute name you give them. They're still disgusting.
Water bug. Oh, it's just a water bug. I go, it's got wings and it's a roach. I know they fly. The females fly. You want to see people panicking, you know? You know, it's sort of like having a bat in the house. Everybody's got lacrosse sticks and everything. They're trying to take out the cockroach.
Isn't it like, have you ever noticed like you eat like a really hot day or like a 3 or 4 hot days and it's going to rain? And all of a sudden you get these flying, biting ants all of a sudden. It's like, where the hell do they come from? Like, Jesus Christ.
Well, up here, I went somewhere up to check one of the cemeteries, and it is black fly season in full go up here. And I forgot about them. And they dive bomb you. I mean, they will chase you into your car. They will follow you.
Horse flies. They freaking bite you as well. They're horrible.
Almost leave holes in you. Damn, I hate bugs. Oh. I don't get it.
What gives me the most nightmares is those worms that grow in trees and are in that netting.
They're the gypsy moth worms. I didn't hardly see any of those yet. They usually take up all the trees on 81, but I didn't see any of it.
Yeah, and you have to like burn them off. That's the only way to kill them.
They destroy all the trees.
And they sizzle. They sound like they're screaming when you burn them, because they have this sizzling, screeching sound, don't they? And it's really disgusting.
Yeah, a little bit. But it's so fun burning them, though.
Yeah, it is. But it caused me nightmares when I was younger.
I don't know.
If I see them, because you just see them all growing inside this webbing pod thing. It's like,
I know. It's disgusting. You don't know what's on the inside. It's nasty. That's why in Texas, I always have a lighter and Aquanet. I will torch anything that's over an inch. I don't care.
You might be killing the ozone, but at least those bugs are dead.
Fuck the ozone. I got a cockroach.
Vicky doesn't go anywhere without her lighter and her aquanet.
No,
there's no bug. Nope. She's
got the aquanet wherever I go, man. I just need to buy a bunch of chickens so they'll eat all the little bastards, you know?
Yeah, no, insects are quite disgusting. Yeah, I remember
certain ones. I like praying mantises.
Praying mantises are cool. I mean, they mate and eat their husbands, so that's quite interesting.
That's the best part about them. They got it going on.
I like the way they look.
What I don't understand is why the guy just stands there and let her do it. I don't understand. I mean, that's an interesting case study in biology.
Yeah, but it's because he's in the middle of having sex with her. She doesn't while they're having sex.
Yeah.
It's not like they're having sex and then he moves in and then she decides to eat them. It's in the course of the action. You know, he's in there like a dog, like stuck inside her. So he can't go anywhere. It's like she's like grasped on.
I know. They just sort of like bypass all the foreplay and the choking and just go straight for the jugular.
Precisely. It's like, fine, I'm pregnant now. I'm going to eat you. I'm happy. No entrapment there.
No.
God. I remember when I lived in Colorado for a year. I remember that whenever we went to hiking or anything in the spring or summer, that when you came in, you basically had like strip off and then check for ticks and stuff like that, make sure they weren't in you sort of thing. So and you get out the old match, run the match. Light the match and hit it and watch them pop off you.
Yeah.
When I used to spend summer consistently, there were a lot of ticks around there too. And my mom was super, super protective because of them. Like I was like 9, 10 years old, you know, or 11, 12, whatever year we went. But yeah, she was on high alert for ticks because coming in from Brooklyn, you know, it's not really that big a deal, but we were like in the countryside in Italy. So don't pet that dog. Don't you dare pet that dog. You're going to get ticks all over you.
In Italy?
Yeah.
I never assumed Italy had a bunch of ticks.
I mean,
Italy's got ticks and mosquitoes are massive there as well.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't notice when I was there.
Did you go to the country or in the city?
Well, I was in Rome, but I mean, we did go to the country, but I didn't notice anything. I'm glad I didn't now. I'm glad I went ignorant. If I ever go again, I'm not going to be ignorant, so I'll be sitting there looking around.
I mean, the worst thing about ticks is the Lyme disease. If you know anything about Lyme disease can affect you for your whole life once you get it.
I think it's the deer ticks that make it.
70-80% of infected people develop a rash, but then it causes the loss of ability to move one or both sides of the face, joint pain, severe headaches with neck stiffness, and heart palpitations.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with that. Yikes.
All from a single tick bite.
Although they say it's the deer ticks, I think they're mainly carrying, isn't it?
Though these ticks, I wouldn't mind them biting me if you got that kind of, you know, hallucinogenic going on.
Ooh, oh, I know.
Ooh.
Trails.
Precisely. Take the place of licking toads. Oh, can't find a toe. Let's walk out in the forest and get bit by a tick instead. Yay. So, Joe, I guess what we'll do is do our final thoughts of ticks. What's your final thought of the film?
Now that we've all gone on our tangent.
Well, before we even do that, I had messaged Kevin Tenney, the director of Night of the Demons, because he had made two movies with Amy Dolenz. And I just wrote to him, you know, forgive me if I've asked you this before, but what was Amy Dolenz like to work with? I'm doing a podcast on the movie Ticks. And he said she was a doll. That's why I made two films with her. Cute as a button. So apparently Amy Dolenz was a doll to work with, according to Kevin Tenney. So
cool.
I like Ticks. It's like you said, it's at least interesting, and it's the effects are great. The performances are over the top, especially Clint Howard. Clint Howard is so amazingly over the top that I couldn't look away.
Yeah.
I absolutely liked it.
I know, Clint Howard. You gotta love it when he shows up in a movie. It's like, you know, it's gonna be some shit.
Oh, hell yeah. It's gonna be,
Clint Howard. Yeah.
It's gonna be glorious. You know it is. It's fantastic. I absolutely love watching him.
You know, there's some fucked up shit ready to come. Yeah.
Well, y'all, if they started murdering beautiful people, he'd be the last to go as well. We're not pretty, is he?
Silent Night, Deadly Night 4, I think, was the one that Clint Howard was in, where he that had a lot of bug stuff in it too. So I was kind of thinking about that movie while I was watching this too. But yeah, it's a fun little movie. I joked immediately when I was watching it. I think I messaged both of you guys when I'm trying to buy Carlton Banks as a badass and I just can't do it. But yeah, it's a fun little movie to watch, and it's quick too. It's a breeze. It's like 80-something minutes,
85 minutes.
Yeah, it's a breeze to watch too. So it's if you guys haven't watched it, check it out. This was a fun little movie.
I have to sit there and say though, it is hard to be a badass when you're wearing MC Hammer pants.
The MC Hammer pants.
Can't touch it. Do 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 do.
Yeah, now that's gonna be stuck in my head again today.
He's like wearing MC Hammer pants, and then the top half of it was dressed like New Jack City. So he's stuck between the two worlds of the '90s.
Kept expecting him to break out into "It's Not Unusual," though.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah.
What about yourself, Vix? What are your final thoughts of Ticks?
I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, it's not believable, but that's what's so fun about it. It's usually the special effects were great. The actors were great. You kind of got vested in the characters. And Clint Howard, you know, in the beginning and everything. I mean, it's a fun movie. It's disgusting. That's why you got to love it. I mean, nothing just revolts me or pulses me more than insects. So, you know, insects, I mean, I pay attention to them. It's like, God, I hate them already. But it was a great movie. I mean, it was fun. I mean, they did a good job on it.
I love that was your first word description. It's disgusting. I love it.
Well, it was. I don't even have anything else to say. It was disgusting. The more disgusting, the better. But it was gross because bugs are gross. Blood-sucking bugs. Large blood-sucking bugs. You know. Yeah. It's a pretty heinous topic. I thought it was legit, so I loved it.
I quite like Ticks. I also like it because it has practical effects as well. I mean, this is something that's going to slowly, you know, that slowly disappears after 1993 as well due to CGI. And it's quite nice seeing him. I like the performances. I like the way the ticks move. I thought they were very clever, the way their little legs move and how they did that. And even the giant tick at the end was fun as well. And I don't know. I think it's
was that the extra nice to have large a film tick? That you can just
put on, watch, enjoy it, get grossed out, have a couple little jump scares, and just have a good time. It's a good one to get your mates around, have a couple beers, a couple joints, I suppose, get along with the marijuana storyline that goes on here.
And we forgot about the extra large tick. We didn't mention the extra large tick, the mother of all ticks.
Yeah, I mean
the extra extra large tick. That I don't came know out of, what's his name's body.
Carlton Banks. Panic.
Yeah, Carlton Banks. Who they don't really put any credits for anywhere.
Well, to be honest, this idea actually sprung from the guy who did the special effects. It was just his idea, and then within 6 months, okay, let's shoot it. That was a quite big turnaround, and I think they've done a fantastic job. I mean, you wouldn't think that this movie only cost $1 million to make. Think about it, in 1993, considering 3 years later, Titanic would cost how many billions?
Oh, God, I don't even remember how much that cost. That was in 95. Yeah, that came out in 95. This is 94, I think.
93. Yeah. So if you look, so obviously, you know, by that time, £1 million didn't go very far.
No shit.
I thought they did a good job. I mean,
they did a lot with it.
Yeah. And the giant tick, I mean, coming out of the body and stuff like that was so disgusting and revolting. And I thought they did a really good job of especially making the body spread apart as his person.
Yeah, it was disgusting. Mm-hmm.
brings us to Stung from 2015. Stung, or Sie Werden Destachen, is a 2015 German-American independent science fiction horror comedy film directed by Benny Dietz, written by Adam Arsti, and starring Matt O'Leary, which we know him from Frailty, the little boy from Frailty, Jessica Cook, Lance Hendrickson, Clifton Collins Jr., Cecilia Pallado, and Eve Slatner. What we're going to do is cut to the trailer of Stung and be right back.
A no joke. Do you want to hear it?
Not really.
What is a bee's favorite movie?
No idea.
Wow, this place is a piece.
You'll see it has its charms.
Hey there, put you in charge, huh? You got much experience?
Yeah, I'm good at serving drinks. I'm good at consuming alcohol, so really I'm overqualified for the job.
He likes you.
Yeah, no. I'm pretty sure I'd rather jump off a cliff. Hey, Mr. Mayor, everything okay?
Yeah, this party needs an autopsy.
Did you see that? There are these massive wasps flying around here. You should be careful.
Ow!
They're like this. They're huge. Avoid everything here. It's bad.
Oh, poor baby.
Thank you all for coming. And for leaving the kids at home.
Ah! Help! I think something bit him!
Get inside right now!
Oh, gosh.
What the hell just happened? Those bees.
They're not bees. Those are wasps.
Who gives bees, wasps? How the hell can all of this be happening?
How do I know when you'll be back?
You don't.
Hello, welcome back to the Literary License Podcast, and we're discussing Stung from 2015, starting with you, Joe. What are your views of Stung?
I liked it, but I liked it a lot better in 1968 when it was Night of the Living Dead. It's got the same beats entirely. I actually didn't know what this movie was because I'd never heard of it. And when I saw it, I was like, okay, is it like some awful sci-fi channel movie that's just gonna, and no, it wasn't. It's actually pretty good. It was not what I expected at all. I expected it to be something along the lines of, like, you know, Sharknado or Dino Croc or something like that. And this was a lot better than I expected it to be. Again, kind of likable characters for the most part. I mean, what, about like 20 minutes in, what, you know, you start to realize this is going to be Night of the Living Dead, because they're gonna like all just get holed up in the mansion and fight the invading hordes of giant wasp creatures that are popping out of humans, because they're using the humans to nest. It seems like, yeah, it's a fun little
they're like
little
tarantula. They're like tarantula hornets. That's what they do. If you look, well, get disgusted. Google tarantula hornets.
Yeah, they're
bloody they're disgusting.
They're a real hornet. Basically, what they do is they're parasitic wasps, and what they basically do is when they put their stinger in you, they're actually planting their eggs in you.
Yeah.
And disgusting. Then what happens basically is you, if you don't know about it, you don't pull the stinger out, then what basically happens is that your skin starts giving birth to all these baby wasps.
Yeah.
And it happens. Ooh. It doesn't happen to people too often, but it does happen to animals in certain areas, like cows and stuff. You just have to watch out for it.
That explains the ending.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, the cowbells. And I was like, are they carrying cows? All right, that explains that.
That was the, yeah, that was pretty funny. I had to do a double take. I hadn't seen this one before. If I did, I forgot. Mm-hmm.
No, I had never seen it. I was like, this is actually a lot better than I thought. I watched it with my roommate. He's like, that was better than it had any right to be. I was like, yeah, it really was.
Especially who? What's the name? I can't place his name here in my notes either. The guy that had like the sick, the wasp head right here.
Christian Collins Jr.
Yes,
That was the actor. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, and the wasp is like, you know, what was that reminiscent of? I'm trying to think of what movie that was. What movie was with the two-headed guy? It's an old movie. God, why can't I remember that? The guy puts the head on the other guy. He's a black guy, and the other guy is a racist. He's a white guy who's a racist, and he puts the black man's head on the shoulder. And he goes to
Yeah. It's like a really bad film.
Oh, my God. Oh my God! You want to talk? You gotta watch it, Joe. It's so up your alley. When I find the title, I'm gonna find it because it was one of those movies. It has to be seen. But that's what it reminded me of. And the wasp was like kind of dictating his central nervous system, I guess. And he was, you know, that was disgusting. That was just anything, you know, any kind of parasite that gets in your body. Or, you know, I mean, and they do that because the tarantula wasp will actually lay eggs in a tarantula, and they will, when they come out like alien, you know, pop out of your chest or whatever, they start feeding on the host. So, I mean, it really is quite a little nature.
There was a lot in these movies that I think we could say was disgusting. This was
another. Anything sticking their stinger in your body and laying eggs right there, that is about the most fucked up thing I could think of today. Like, no. But it was a fun movie, though. I mean, you got these and, you know, I was sitting there thinking that was reminiscent of also middle of COVID. And so the news is running out of shit. So what do we got to come up with? Mutant giant wasps coming to the United States. Why would anybody even put that story out there last year? The giant killer hornets are coming.
That was a problem for like a day.
It was a big thing for 4 or 5 days, but everybody got spooked about everything. Everybody's sitting in their house all fucking paranoid and juiced up on beer and marijuana or whatever it is y'all were doing during the lockdown. It's worried about murder hornets.
Well, the parasitic wasps are actually indigenous to North America.
They are. Better not be. I bet you they're in Texas.
What they tend to do is they go for like smaller like worms and plant and insects. But if they were as big, if they grew as big as they would here, then they would probably do damage to the humans if they were bigger.
And why do they grow big? Because of the fertilizer. Which if you look at the
fertilizer.
If you look at the canister, the fertilizer was called trioxin, which I think might have been a little nod to Return of the Living Dead, probably intentionally. So yeah, this was kind of cool too. This was kind of fun, and again, you get Clifton Collins Jr. being like just completely over the top, and Lance Hendrickson seemed to not give a shit. He came off that way to me.
I think he, you know, the thing about him is that.
Oh man, you got to look up the pictures of you got to look up the pictures of tarantula hawks and then their offspring being born. Everybody go out there and Google it if you hear this. God, nasty.
Well, I mean, what they do basically is when they plant their eggs and when the eggs grow, it basically makes the whatever that's going to explode. And kills whatever that's laid its eggs in. So that's what they do, sort of thing. I mean, the garden pitch for Stung is Garden State versus Aliens. That's the elevator pitch for Stung, sort of thing.
What's that?
I said the elevator pitch for this is Garden State versus Aliens.
Right.
Now, I had to sit there and say, it's good to see Matt O'Leary, because I always thought, I mean, when I saw him in Frailty, the Bill Paxton film that he directed, that little boy in there, and I thought he was brilliant. So it's good to see him as an adult. There's something very charming about him. That's what I quite like.
Yes,
the cast is very likable, and I like the romance between those two. You know, that she's the boss, and then he's a little bit of a screw up, and then and what develops there. And I thought that was quite nice to have that as a central little theme there. But I have something to say that when the mayhem does take over, it does take over very quick and furiously. You have like this kind of a slow buildup and then bam, it hits. And then it's nonstop from there on out sort of thing. So.
It's just all those hornets start flying around at that party and everybody's just getting stung to death.
And they're not thinking of just running in the house. A lot of them are sitting there trying to swat away these like dozens of wasps that are coming at them, and like they're outnumbering you. They're going to get you.
I have something to say about wasps. Wasps are horrible because the thing is, if you ever disturbed a wasp nest or anything like that, they're relentless. They don't leave. They don't like zoom after you and you run away. They stalk you. They go after you. I don't know what it is about them, but they're vindictive.
Very aggressive.
They are. I don't know what it is. Like, if you ever tried to swat, if you don't kill one, if you're outside and you don't kill a wasp, and that's if you ignore them, they're fine. But if as soon as you start swatting at them, that's it. They're after you.
Yeah, they keep coming back.
Precisely.
They will come after you.
We have these like big red wasps in Texas. Like if you put them up against a quarter, they're a little larger than the quarter. And I mean, I've been outside and go, look at the hummingbird. It's not a hummingbird. It's a freaking wasp. And you know, I mean, you can literally hit it with you can't hit them with your hand, but I've hit them with brooms. I don't know where they come. They must live in the ground. That's the only thing. I think they live in the ground. Pretty sure. But they're not like those paper mache nests that you find under things. But I mean, to make a horror movie out of something that's so aggressive, you know, it's got to work, you know, because you know that everybody has a natural instinctual fear of bees and stingers and wasps and everything. So, you know, and then they have that one scene, well, you know, that stinger is going to go in her eye. And I'm just the eyeballs. That's the one thing that upsets me in campy films is the eyeball stuff. I don't do eyeballs. Then you got a killer hornet trying to pierce her eye with its, you know, it's like, no, no eyeballs, but it is. It's sort of like Jason, you know, where he shoots that arrow, you know, and through that guy's eye. Just like, why? No eyes.
I was thinking a Lucio Fulci movie. Every Lucio Fulci movie, whether it's zombie or yeah, every one of them always has some kind of eye trauma.
Eye thing. Yeah, he's into eye popping and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, I can watch it, but I kind of have to. I grimace. It's cringe. It makes me cringe. Eyeballs make me cringe.
I mean, plus, if you've ever had something stuck in your eye, or like I had a scratched cornea.
That
is like the worst. Like that was the one time in my life where I'm like, I just want to die. Like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. And it's only for a couple of days. Where you're sitting there going, no, you know what? I'd rather just be dead. Because you can't open your eye. You can't move it. Just everything hurts.
I had to go to the ER. I was like, had this thing of scotch tape. And I couldn't get the tape off. And I was like, I was younger. And I was like, pulling it. And finally, the tape popped. And I went, just totally scratched. I know. My mother took me to the ER. And I was like 5 or 6. It took like 20 nurses to hold me down. Trying to fix my eyes. Pissed off. But yeah, eyeballs. Ever since then, eyeballs have been an issue for me. Mm-hmm. What's that? Where's that? What's that movie with the giant eye? Remember the giant eyeball?
Crawling eye.
There's a lot of
crawling eye with the big retina behind it.
Crawling eye. Yeah.
That was such a disturbing movie.
I think that's Forrest Tucker in it as well, doesn't
it? Yeah. Oh yeah, it does. But,
I mean, the interesting thing about Stung is another one of those low-budget films that basically uses practical effects and little CGI to help boost the practical effects.
But they did a fantastic job with the hornets. They were great.
Yeah, and I thought that was quite nice. That's why I always quite like having the mix of practical effects and CGI together. I think they work very well together.
I think you're correct in that.
Because all the hornets were done by puppeteers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That explains why it looked so good then, because I was like, these don't look like these awful
CGI. No, they don't look like CGI.
So yeah, that actually works. I didn't realize that they were, some of them were practical. I'm becoming more of a fan of this movie now.
But it's actually, yeah, it's legitimately entertaining. It's a fun little movie to watch. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say, like earlier with Tix, I would definitely suggest anybody listening to this go check it out because it is a fun little movie.
It is.
They make a nice double feature as well, I thought, because I watched one after the other. I was like, actually, this is quite a good double
feature. Silly horror film. Yeah. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. I watched them both yesterday, so.
But I mean, if you do think about it, let's sit there and just sit there and just give the thought of, let's sit there and let's say that putting steroids into the ground would do this to animals. Could you imagine?
That would explain Night of the Lepus. Which I can't ever get over that movie. I don't think I'm ever going to recover from watching that. But
well, no, nothing's worse than giant bunny rabbits. Or Fruit of the Gods. Fruit of the Gods is another one, isn't it? Another one of those bad movies where basically has gigantic
rabbits.
Wildlife.
Carnivorous giant bunny rabbits, okay?
Yeah.
It was worse if the bunnies weren't so cute. the whole time.
Did you see? Well, I mean, they got a whole bunch of bunnies and they're all grouped together, you know? I mean, I just can't. I'm going to probably have to watch that again.
Well, the worst thing about it, because those films are done in the 60s and 70s before there were animal rights during the film, God knows what they were doing to these animals.
Oh, no shit. Well, look at Cannibal Ferox and Cannibal Holocaust. That's some fucked up shit.
Yeah, but at least the locals are eating the animals up that are killing them. I mean, they were using, I mean, they killed the animals, but
they cut that turtle's hands off or his things off.
Yeah, but they did eat it afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
I know they used his shell to make soup or something. They were cooking it. Oh my god!
Not like the snake in Poor Friday the 13th. She's like, oh, man. Just kill it. Chop it in half.
Yeah.
I think with Night of the Lepus, I think there were a bunch of rabbits that actually got killed. I forgot how many. Mm-hmm. There were a lot, though.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Well, they were blowing shit up, and, you know, there was all kinds of stuff going on in that movie.
Well, even when you watch stuff like Willard or Ben, and they set all those rats on fire, they probably are just, because, you know, it was before CGI, so they probably were setting those rats on fire.
Well, yeah, think of the movies of the 30s and stuff. You know, what movie did we cover with the werewolf and they used a hyena for the werewolf? What was that movie? It was old.
Oh, was it?
But maybe I'm thinking of Nosferatu.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Nosferatu.
One of those films where
they used a hyena for a werewolf.
Yeah, because they couldn't find a wolf.
So they get a hyena?
Well, I mean, you know, it is before the internet, so people didn't go and start searching.
That's true. They wouldn't have known the difference.
I guess if you're like small town somewhere, small town nowhere, I guess unless an encyclopedia salesman came to your door, you probably would have no clue.
Yeah. Watertown,
1932. Yeah. Did I send you guys that clip last week when I was watching Devil Dog, The Hound of Hell? And there was a scene where like the maid of this family is like warning them that the dog is pure evil, and it cuts the dog, and it's like this cute little puppy that's just like sitting in a basket, and he looks up, and they're playing like this dramatic music behind it. And I'm like, that's supposed to scare me.
He's a killer.
He's a killer. He's a Yorkshire Terrier.
He's a killer.
I remember backing it up and picking up my phone. Like, I gotta show people this.
I was wondering what the fuck you were watching. But what is he watching?
I went down the rabbit hole because I'd been researching Curtis Harrington's The Old Dark House. I'm sorry, James Whale's The Old Dark House. And Curtis Harrington was the one who kind of like rediscovered it in the 60s. Like he made it like his life mission to find a copy of that movie because it was considered lost. And I was like, yeah, let me go. I remember watching a couple of Curtis Harrington made for TV horrors from the 70s that I kind of liked. And I saw that Media Blasters had just put out Devil Dog, The Hound of Hell on Blu-ray. I'm like, I remember liking that. Let me order it. And then I watched it. I was like, I mean, it's fun, but it's a fun little movie. It is a good little movie, but the scenes where like they're trying to make you fear this cute little puppy is hilarious.
There's just no way. I'm gonna have to go back and watch that clip again.
I'm gonna. I don't remember if I sent it to you. If I didn't, I'll send it to you after this.
Yeah, do so, because I want to see the killer puppy. I've never seen a killer puppy before.
Didn't he do it's like Curtis Harrington? Didn't he do like Who Slew Annie Rue?
Yeah. Yeah, he did a lot of those.
And What's the Matter with Helen and Killer Bees? And
yep.
Yeah. He used to get all these old Hollywood actresses out of retirement and put them in horror films, sort of thing.
That seemed to be his thing in the 70s. Like, he would get these old, like 30s and 40s horror actresses and do a new movie with them. But he was a pretty solid director. Unfortunately, he seems to be forgotten by time.
That's sad.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I love Who Slew Auntie Rue and What's the Matter with Helen? I love those films. I have the DVD where they basically brought them out on, Midnight Drive-In.
Oh, the Midnight Media, the Midnight Movies label, the MGM one, yeah.
Yeah.
I had that DVD. I don't know if it's still in my locker or not. I gotta check my storage.
I quite liked his films, actually.
I liked a lot of his films. But yeah, how do we get off on this tangent now? Because
I
think we've gone from giant wasps to devil dogs.
What happened was we were talking about create little animals on steroids and
then Night of the Lepus, and then that's where
that's what started.
How did we get off track like this?
I have to sit there and say that I think that this film's got a lot going for it. I do think that if it came out at a different time, I think it probably would have had a bigger audience. The first time I saw this, it was Shudder. It was one of the Shudder premieres a couple years ago. And I saw it on Shudder, and I watched it on Shudder and go, God, this is really good. And then I couldn't place the guy in it. It's like, God, I know him. And then basically it's like, oh my God, it's the kid from Frailty. Because I love Frailty. Frailty was one of my favorite films of that year when it came out. And it's sad that Bill Paxton didn't actually make another movie after that sort of thing, because I thought he was a pretty good director sort of thing.
But, I don't remember much about Frailty. I remember I liked it. I remember I rented it.
I love Frailty.
I do remember liking it. He's like a religious fanatic in that, right?
Well, it's kind of a disturbing movie because he's killing people that are like pedophile. He sees people that have actually committed sins like pedophilia, rape, murder. And he's going to he's going to take them out.
And then you got two sons. One son believes that he is that the dad is the messenger, and the other son doesn't believe that he is. So you're never quite sure if he is or not.
It was Dexter before Dexter.
And then of course you get the big the end sort of thing.
The ending totally threw me. The ending really threw me.
Yeah, but. It was very, very clever, but I just remember the two kids in that were like fantastic. I mean, they were like
they did a fantastic job. Excellent acting.
And then it's like you never saw them again. And then all of a sudden, then he appears here. And he's like
he pops up in this.
He was in that James Wan movie. Shit. The Death Wish type movie that James Wan did with Kevin Bacon. He was one of the gang members in that Matt O'Leary. He was I think he was one of the gang members, actually.
Yeah, I'm since now realized is like, when I looked him up that he's actually appeared in a lot more things that I've seen, but I didn't actually recognize him.
He probably, he's just got one of those faces. He probably might have slipped through the cracks when you're watching a movie, you don't realize you're watching kind of thing.
Well, I have to sit there and say that he has an impossible task in here, because the thing is, because his character is kind of doofus, but at the same time, you got to make him likable, and he becomes very, very likable day to day and whatnot. But he still keeps it. But he's still able to keep that doofus. Because the thing is, he could have been really annoying. I think it's another actor that could have been really annoying, his character. Yes. But because he was such a likable, and she's very likable as well. Because otherwise, if they got another actress in that, she would just sound like a total bitch all the time.
Yeah, she came off at the beginning like she was being way too hard on him, like. Like when he first opens the back door of the van and like a bunch of stuff falls over, she's like, whoa, what the hell did you do? And I'm like, yo, content shift during all that motion. You guys were driving up and down all these bumpy roads. When he opens that door, yeah, stuff's going to fall out. It's going to happen naturally.
Yeah.
I thought at the beginning she was kind of hard on him, but then, yeah, she kind of grew on me too. You kind of start to get the sense of what she's living in her father's shadow kind of. So yeah, they made everybody kind of likable, which is I also did not expect in this movie. So I was really pleasantly surprised.
The ending.
No, not either.
They're having sex in the ambulance.
Fucking in the ambulance.
And then there's a large cow hornet. Large cow hornet.
The ambulance driver just closes the door. And says, all right, I'm just going to walk away.
I thought another thing that was quite interesting, which Tix kind of goes, okay, we need a human villain here. I thought that Stung was quite interesting. They didn't go that route. They didn't need a human villain in the middle of all this, or someone who's
a really annoying person
who needs to say, "I need to take charge." Or the and they kind of avoided that, which I thought was which made the movie a little bit special as well. Because normally, what you always do is you know, get a bunch of people, whether it's Poseidon Adventure or Tower Inferno or you know whatever movie you're watching. There's some kind of disaster. You always get this one annoying human being that doesn't listen to anyone. And basically, you know, the one who's going to get killed at the, you know, going to get killed at some point because you know, he thinks he knows it all, but knows nothing.
Did you think Clinton Collins was kind of like a bad guy towards the
end? No, he was just kind of a person who was under the shadow of his mom sort of thing. That's how I took him to be.
Well, he kind of lost his shit when he, you know, had that hornet head stuck on his shoulder there for a while.
Yeah. But I'm saying that, but it's not that he knew, he didn't, I mean, basically he was just like, you know, he's in a panic and didn't know what the hell was going on like everyone else. But it's basically, you know, but he was like, you know, he started out as a weird character anyway, and because this had to do with his mom, the whole relationship between his mom. So he,
yeah,
so
very
his character, sheltered. So his character, even after his mom dies and whatever like that, his character pretty much stays the same. So, but he wasn't like trying to take charge of it. Oh, we need to do this. And meanwhile, everyone's like, going, no, we need, you know what I mean? He didn't have that, you know, even in like A Night of the Living Dead, you have that. You know, the guy in the cellar with his family, and basically, you know, he has to like throw his
weight
around.
Well, yeah, Lance Henriksen, he was a really strong character. He was the mayor, Mayor Carruthers. I liked him actually.
Did you read the story about how they got him? The director said, "Who can he get?" And he goes, "Let's try for Lance Henriksen. He'll never do it, but just ask him." They asked him, and go, "Yeah, I'll do it. Yeah, I think it's
great." <I'm kidding. laughs>
And they're like, and so he was out drinking with his friends. He gets the phone call. Yeah, Lance is gonna do it. He's like, "What? Really?" That's okay.
And Lance Henriksen is drinking throughout this movie.
Like drinking?
No, I don't know about that. No, I mean his character. Like they're being attacked by wasps. He walks back to the table to get his glass of wine.
Yeah, that's true. He did. I would have brought the whole bottle at this point. He was great, though. I always think he's just got one of those weird, you know, he was weird in Aliens, you know, or Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead, he was just wicked out there in that one.
Or Near Dark. Great.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, the Chris Carter show, Millennium. He's fantastic in that as well. So.
And I actually watched him in a train wreck of an Italian movie called The Visitor recently, where it stars John Huston. It's kind of an Omen ripoff. And the cast is fantastic, but the movie's just completely inept, and it's fantastic because of that.
So, Vicky, what are your final thoughts of Stung?
It's disgusting. I loved it. I mean, if anything's gonna get you going is bugs. I'm telling you, you couldn't pick a better subject to gross me out is bugs. You know, I mean, who isn't revolted by, you know, pests sometimes, like cockroaches or snakes or whatever? Reptiles don't bother me, so like they just don't.
So next month with Godzilla, you'll be fine.
I'll be fine with Godzilla. I love Godzilla. I mean, you know, everybody needs a radiated iguana in their house. But, you know, it's a lot of fun watching movies like that. You know they're not realistic, and you know that's why they're so fun. And then you get people in here, you know, that you have people that have good names, the big names, and for whatever reason, they decide to throw in and do it. You know, so it's always entertaining. They're unbelievable. But like the giant wasp nest, was that in the house? Did they make a giant wasp nest in the house? And there's like tons of wasp nest in it. Yeah, and they're coming down the thing. Yeah, I think so. I think they did. They made a nest in the house. But it's a lot of fun. The characters are fun. You kind of get invested in the characters once again, because the characters are just incredibly crazy and fun to watch.
Oh, you just reminded me of towards the climax where she's lighting the burners for the catering thing.
Oh yeah,
and she throws it on top of the other pile, and it cuts to one of the wasps who's like actually like looking at it as it drops onto the others, and I burst out laughing at that. I was like, I can't.
Well, they did such a good job with them as they're puppets, you know. It's like,
yeah,
you know, like actual, you know, handheld, you know, material making these scenes along with CGI, and it just made for a great combination. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know how you could like movies like this.
She's trying to elbow a flaming wasp, but she just keeps hitting it, and nothing goes. Like, it doesn't hurt her at all.
I know the wasp that was stuck onto the car. Fine. That wasp, like Keith says, they will chase you down, you know, and that wasp was totally on fire. How is it still alive? I mean, really.
And how is it not hurting her, this giant flaming wasp, but she's just hitting it with her elbow and like it's not burning her at all. Just nailing it.
I know.
What are your final thoughts, Joe?
It was campy, goofy fun.
It was campy, goofy fun.
the thing that stuck out to me was how the first like maybe two-thirds of it were basically Night of the Living Dead, everything down to when Ben and the others leave to get the truck. That we have that scene here too where Matt O'Leary leaves.
That's true. To go
to the, so it's fun. It is a fun little movie though. Like I said with Ticks, if you just want something to just entertain you, and again, I think this was kind of short too. I think this was only like 85 or 90 minutes. Also,
one line.
So yeah, they're both kind of a breeze to watch. They're really quick. If you're looking like for just a couple of movies to just kind of throw back some beers with your friends and just kind of have fun, these are fun little movies that are actually kind of entertaining. Both of them are. So yeah, totally. I loved it too. I absolutely love it.
I think, I mean, my views of Stung is I love this film. I saw it on Shudder and I watched it quite a few times when it was on the Shudder run. I think it's off Shudder over here at the moment. I'm not sure about in the US.
I don't think it's on here either. I will rent it.
I watched it quite a few times and I just love it. And the performances, and you know what? I think with this and with Ticks, I think what makes it is that I think that the actors are having a really good time while making it. It just feels like everyone's kind of like together and everyone's having a good time while they're making this. It doesn't look like, you know, and it looks like all the actors are not just like actors for hire. They're like invested in it. They're like, okay, I'm game for this. Let's go. And you kind of feel that camaraderie and Stung, and you feel it in Ticks as well. That's what I quite like about it. And it's fun. I mean, it's just like, it's very rare that a horror film that doesn't take itself too seriously. It's either you get something that's very meta, where it's like you get these characters walking around, like walking, you know, like they know everything about horror films and they have to like recite, you know, the horror story Bible. And it's very rare they just get films where people just get regular characters who are very likable. They just go in and basically something horrible happens and they're fighting to survive and just go for it sort of thing. You know, there's no winking at the, you know, camera at all either, and they keep you just going. And that's what I liked about Stung.
Oh, it was fun. I loved it. Well, wrong with films like this on a rainy day.
No. You can watch it anytime. I actually bought copies of both of these sort of things. So I have copies in my collection.
Ticks is extremely expensive right now. I'm hoping somebody
Why is the price up on that? Why is that so expensive?
Out of print. It's just out of print. So yeah, the people who have it are charging exorbitant amounts of money. Meanwhile,
there has to be a way to be able to tape up of internet TV. That there has to be a way.
It's on Ticks is on YouTube in full. Filmwise put it up.
It's on Amazon for free. Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon for free as well. Yeah. There you go. Mm-hmm. Stung on DVD is like $5 right now on Amazon. At least last time I checked.
Yeah, it was about $3.99 or something like that.
I'm gonna try to find a Blu-ray of it because I think it's, you know, I got it on DVD, but so I haven't actually looked. I mean, I watched.
I don't know if there is a Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Of Stung or Ticks?
Of Stung.
Stung.
I don't think there's a Blu-ray. I think it's only on DVD. But yeah, it's a fun little movie though. Yeah, I rented it off of iTunes, and I might actually dip and buy the DVD too, because it is a fun little movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not seeing any Blu-ray.
And you can watch it over and over. That's what I quite like about these movies. I've seen Tick so many times, and I see Stung so many times. And I mean, to be honest, a week from now, I can still watch them over and still enjoy them. So as well, that's the masterpiece.
Yeah, these definitely have a rewatchability quality to it. Yeah, definitely.
So that brings us to the end of the Literary License Podcast. Next month will be the end of our Nature versus Man. We'll be doing Godzilla, the original. And, well, I think we're going to be doing the original cut of it. So we won't be doing the American cut. We'll be looking for the original cut of Godzilla. And, well, of course, we'll be doing the remake, not the Matthew Broderick one, but the one that came after that one. We're going to avoid the Matthew Broderick.
That's a no-go for me. I tried. I watched quite a few times, but I can't get into it. I've never been. It's long, drawn out.
When Godzilla's laying eggs in,
Madison Square Garden,
it kind of goes down. I mean, it was going downhill anyway, but that's kind of where it started going below ground, sort of thing.
I just didn't like that. Godzilla, he didn't even scream enough. You know, Godzilla's noise that he makes, that big roar. They didn't even roar. He didn't even shoot fire.
Well, I think it was done by Roland
Emmerich.
And he has a habit. It's all about the special effects, not about the story. If you've ever watched any of his other films.
Well, it doesn't work for him. Not in this film. I didn't think so. Not in that Godzilla.
Very rarely works for any of his films, really, if you think about them.
But that also came out of time in the 90s where they wanted to kind of subvert everything. Like they wanted to do a Superman movie where he's never in the suit and he doesn't fly. There's certain things you just can't take away. And I think that's what they tried to do with that Godzilla movie. Let's make a Godzilla movie that doesn't really have Godzilla. It doesn't look anything like Godzilla. It doesn't roar like him.
Yeah. Another thing is you can't make a Godzilla and like King Kong. They're not villains.
Not really.
So you can't make them these villains characters.
The new Godzilla, my favorite scene in that new one was when he jumps up on top and starts clawing his way up on that aircraft carrier. That was like badass. Friggin' best scene. And King Kong sucker punches him. It's like, yes, it was excellent.
Fun little movie.
I loved it.
Well, so that'll be our finale for Nature versus Man. Of course, Dark Shadows and Soap will be coming up. Dark Shadows next week, Soap the following week. And we'll be doing our final classic novels, which will be Moby Dick by Herman Melville and the film with Gregory Peck. And of course, we'll be finishing off our Dark Shadows, and that'll be the end of season 4 next month. So, and then we'll go on to season 5, and we'll tell you more about that next episode. So it's good night for myself, and good night, Vicky.
Night, people.
Good night, Joe.
Good night, everyone.
And we'll see you next week.
Every time you take a sip in this smoky atmosphere, you press that bottle to your lips, and I wish I was your beer. And in the small there of your back, your jeans are playing peekaboo. Like to see the other half of your butterfly tattoo. Hey, that gives me an idea. Let's get out of this bar, drive out into the country, and find a place to park. 'Cause I'd like to see you out in the moonlight. I'd like to kiss you way back in the sticks. I'd like to walk you through a field of wildflowers, and I'd like to check you for ticks. I know.
place to hunt. But don't worry, babe, I've got your back. And I've also got your front. I'd hate to waste a night like this. I'll keep you safe, you wait and see. The only thing allowed to crawl all over you when we get there is me. You know every guy in here tonight would like to take you home, but I've got way more class than them, babe. That ain't what I want. I'd like to walk you through a field of wildflowers, and I'd like to check you for ticks. Now, ooh, you never know where one might be. And, ooh, there's lots of places that are hard to reach. Sticks.